Hello, everybody. Welcome to Optional Opinion here on the Anomalous Radio Network. I am your host, Eddie V. Thank you guys for tuning in. Wow, I got a good topic for you guys. And you probably heard other people on podcasts talk about this. But today's topic, does DLC doesn't look compelling for some? And the reason why I say DLC doesn't look compelling for some is that I had a friend kind of talk to me about the Smash Brothers DLC, which I'll be talking about. And I probably talked about this on the other episodes, but we are now in an age where to extend a lot of our games, we are offered downloadable content, you know, whether it's for extra maps, character skins, extra characters, extra scenarios that's not in the main game, but, you know, might have an impact on some backstory of that character that you're playing. DLC kind of exploded, even though people were finding their footing in it. And if you remember the game Oblivion for Xbox 360, where it kind of started off with the horse armor and what the price they was changing, they was charging for that, kind of show what the marketplace and microtransactions were going to be. We didn't know how successful it was going to be or if it was going to be a failure, but it has become, you know, now like a normality to video games. Now, it's not for all video games that they offer downloadable content. Sometimes, the downloadable content that they do offer or patches that they offer are free. Patches in the sense that they're doing an update and they're adding more stuff and they're giving it to you for free. It's free of charge. Where different patches are actually fixing parts of the game that's broken or glitchy. Those who bought Super Smash Brothers for Wii U or Super Smash Brothers for 3DS, if you registered them on your Club Nintendo account, you got the character Mewtwo, and you also got a soundtrack. I have my soundtrack, and it's just amazing. And I have my codes for Mewtwo. Now, for those who decided not to buy both games but just bought only one, they do offer Mewtwo for sale for each of them for $3.99, or you could buy both of them for $4.99 if you missed the promotion. They also added costumes for your Mii character. They're 75 cents for each character or $1.15 for both systems. Some of the series are Mega Man X, Mega Man, The Legend of Zelda. They got some animal costumes and some like swashbuckling costumes, like just different nature costumes. And some people find it odd that Nintendo is doing this, but it's kind of better than most DLC, definitely for fighting games. There is a big kerfuffle, and I definitely have a problem with it, and we're going to be talking about that later, about a certain fighting game that just came out. But with characters, you know, being released in a game, you have to think differently when Nintendo does it. Now, this might not give Nintendo, or this might sound like it's giving Nintendo a free pass, but the reason why I say this is that Nintendo offered this deal that in advance they say that you guys would get it for free if you bought both games and you get the soundtrack. And plus, Club Nintendo points you won't get for registering the game. So Nintendo at least was rewarding their customers and the fans who purchased both games and did it. Now, there are people who do buy the same game for multiple consoles. Like, if you own a 360 and the Xbox One, maybe you're going to buy it for both systems, you as the adult playing the 361, and maybe your teenage brother or something, or teenage sister or younger, or even your dad might want to play the 360 version. Some people do that, you know. Definitely for me, I've done it. I bought Guacamelee on PS3, and I'm soon going to be planning to buy it on my Wii U. I own Monster Hunter Tri for Wii, and I purchased Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for my Wii U. So even though I don't own Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate for the new 3DS or 3DS, because I don't have the new 3DS, that's where I want to play it at. If it comes out to Wii U, I'm going to own both copies. It's just something that if it's available and I decided as a consumer and as a fan, if I have that right and option to buy it, I'm going to go out and buy it. Now, I might not be rewarded the same way that Nintendo has rewarded people with this, but at least, you know, they gave it to people for free who bought the game, who shelled out the money to buy it. Now, some people might not see the costume thing for the Miis, you know, like really good, but I say, hey, that's cool that they at least offer new costumes for it, you know. I mean, and this is separate from amiibos and things of that nature, but I'm like, I think it's kind of cool that, you know, you could dress your Mii character up in different costumes. I use my Mii fighter in the game. I still haven't learned a particular character in Smash Brothers. I love fighting with my Mii character. I love attacking with the sword, and defeating people that be like, yes, you got defeated by me, and just having fun. I love that option is in the game, especially when you're doing 8-player Smash on Wii U. You can actually like see your character and know that it's you kicking tail, in case of anyone pricks the same character as you. And I just think that that's cool that they offer it. Now, like I said, it is optional. And reason why people might find it mad that Nintendo was doing it is that they feel like they're being somewhat charged, like overcharged or ripped off, that they feel like it's $90 that you pay to get not $90, about $100 to get to get this free character on two systems. Now, yes, you might see it that way, but you got to realize the game comes with close to 40 characters and all these options. So there's more content to the game. They didn't charge you $100 for you to play 14 characters on the game. And then if you want more, you have to unlock them. Well, there's some characters that you do have to unlock, but that's part of the story mode. That's part of the fun. There's still trophies and other things that you gotta unlock in both games. So it's not like they're just charging you. They decided to charge you this much for that one character. Compared to what other other fighting games have done. Definitely like with Killer Instinct, and I'll be talking about that later too. I just find it really kind of just find it weird that people would get mad about that. Well, some people who would get mad about it, but some people who be like, hey, I got my code, you know, I'm going to dive in. Now, there might be people who love Mewtwo, people who don't like Mewtwo, but there's some people who are so dedicated Smash players, they're going to learn the inside and outside of it. So I kind of think that with this DLC, now, like I said, people might not like the Mii costume. I'm definitely going to buy some. I think it's cool to dress it up. Now, you could say, well, that's just a character skin. Have you seen what they did with Evolve? If you have not, you could go online and see the stuff that they're charging for skins and characters and different, like, it's the same version of a monster, one of their monsters, but you could change it to different colors or make it look different. And you just look at the prices that they're charging on that. And even though they got them in packs, you would be like, wow, you know. And I don't even know if anyone is still playing Evolve. I think people probably got their feel of it. It's a good game, but I don't think it offers enough content to hold it. Definitely with the DLC compared to what Smash or even Mario Kart 8 even offers. So we're going to get into a little bit more about this, and I'm going to tell you guys some things about why I think it doesn't look compelling for some, but it's for some stuff it is it is for me. So I will be right back. And I am back. Thank you guys for joining me again. Now, moving on to the next part of it. I kind of want to talk about Street Fighter versus Tekken DLC. Now, what they did with that game is that they had some characters actually locked in the game. They just happen to have characters on the disc that you actually could play, not actually unlock. They had the content on the game where you had to buy these characters, and they showed it where the character was there that you could choose. And then once you pay for it to unlock them, they would be in the game. And it's kind of weird that Capcom and Namco Bandai would actually do something like this. Like, how can you charge your customers to characters that you know are on, that are in the game and on the disc, and in order to have them as playable characters, whether you like them or not, or if you're going to play them or not, you would have the have them been hidden from this paywall. And it was really weird to see that people got really mad, and it was became a big controversy. And you know, Capcom stated their reasons on why they have done it, and we haven't seen Tekken versus Street Fighter yet, but it couldn't be no worser a little bit than Killer Instinct for Xbox One. And even though Killer Instinct was free to play for anyone who bought an Xbox One, you was able to download it, they gave you one character. And if you wanted more, you could buy each character separately, or you could buy a season pass, or a season one, I should say. And then it would unlock all these characters. And then they came out with season two, where you could unlock the rest of the characters. So it was kind of weird that, you know, in order to build a fighting game, of that kind of nature, they did it in a buffet style, but you kind of, it was hidden behind a paywall and a season pass. If you see it like, I can see it like that's a season pass. And it was weird for, you know, Microsoft to ever do that. You know, to get the full experience of the game, you had to buy these seasons. You had to buy the characters. So, you know, if you're doing a tournament, like Evo, or even a tournament at your house or in the local neighborhood, comic shop, video game store, whatever you have, if you wanted these characters to be in this game, you had to buy them. You know, it didn't come where you could just automatically get to play that character. And it was weird for Microsoft to do that. Now, the outrage for me definitely came from the fact that, you know, they just did it nonchalantly, definitely at E3, that they were just like, well, if you want the character, you gotta buy him, ha ha ha. And it was kind of, it was weird that Microsoft would even do that. You know, why would they think that was successful? Now, I don't know how well Killer Instinct was downloaded. I don't know how the sales of the game itself with the downloadable characters, how it did. I don't know if a lot of gamers like really bought the game characters that they want, that they knew they was going to play, and then just buy anything else. So it's kind of weird, like what did people get out of it? You know, it was a full experience, but you know, I don't think that's compelling for a lot of people. They were just like, they wanted Killer Instinct to come back, and it did. And the way that it came back was this DLC content filled game. You know, this buffet style game. And that's weird for a company to even do that. Compared to what Smash offered, they were just like, these are all the characters. Here are the trailers, here there's moves, things that you could do if you train up and learn. You know, everything is here. And then when they even showed characters that were in the game, but that you had to fight and unlock, they show, you know, you just play the story mode, and if it unlocks, it unlocks, and bam, there you go. And that's the thing with Nintendo, they don't hide no paywall. Now they are getting into the free to start. That's what I want to call it, because that's what Nintendo considers it as. I kind of agree with them. Free to start, not free to play, because you get the idea that you're playing the whole game for free, but you know there's added stuff on there that to get from the game that you have to pay for. I like the free to start, that they start you off with the basics, and if you want to expound on that, you can pay for it. I like the way that way. So kind of with Killer Instinct, it's kind of a free to start. You know, you they give it to you for free. You start with one character, and then you build upon that. But, you know, Nintendo doesn't do anything like that. They have done it with the Pokemon games, and that's kind of cool. You know, that's fine. People are getting into them. They're really liking it, and they're kind of just like, well, you know, there's some stuff that we don't have to pay. But, you know, I might give it a few bucks to get further. And some people are just, like, really addicted. And they, I don't, like I said, I don't know how it's turned out to be profit-wise. But if it's good and if it's working, why not continue to do it? Definitely with Nintendo doing the NX, and they're making their company making mobile games when their system comes out. You know, I want to say a dedicated system or dedicated platform, because I think, you know, I don't know if you could play it on your Apple or Android, but I don't think it would be in like the Apple Store. I think there's going to probably be like an app that you have to download. And sign up for, but we'll get more information about that next year. The thing that really got me though, that just really blew my mind, was Mortal Kombat X. They have where if you spend 99 cents, you could do a fatality easy. And from what I heard is when you buy it and you use that fatality, it's gone forever. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like an arcade game. So if you want more man, or you will put in more tokens or quarters, depending on how you want to see that and phrase that. And it was kind of weird that NetherRealms and Warner Brothers would even do this. Why would I want to pay for to do a fatality up, down, X? Why would I want to pay that instead of learning the game inside out? It's very weird. You know, if I pay $60 for your game, I should be man enough to learn the combos, learn the inside outs of the game mechanics that you inputted, and then learn the fatalities that's in the game, that's in training, that you can look at and be able to execute them. It shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be like a one button fatality and then it disappears. I paid $1 to do a fatality. That doesn't make sense. That's not compelling to me. To me personally, that's a turn off from your game. It doesn't make you feel like a winner. You don't get no reward on it. It's just that I pay $1 for short commands. That is not good. That's not a good business practice for me. I personally could not, you know, do anything like that. And, you know, there are other games that if you want extra man and stuff like that, you can pay for it. And for some people who are casual players, even some adults and stuff like that, or maybe some kids too, they would do that. Gamers though, I don't think they would pay that money to do a easy fatality. Why you wouldn't get nothing from it? Definitely I don't get nothing from it. And of course I don't own Mortal Kombat X. I haven't played it yet. I've seen it in action. It's okay. It doesn't excite me like Mortal Kombat 2 did. You know, there's not no pizzazz to it. It's just, look, that is pretty. Look how graphically, violent it is. Look at the cool blood and fatalities and stuff. You know, and if the mechanics are there, some people like it. I'm not saying that it's not a game for me, but it just doesn't wow me like it used to. It's just like, okay, it's just Mortal Kombat. They cleaned up the combo system. They added some things that you could do, and they went about their business. But to charge for some ease of fatalities, that's the crazy thing. That's to me, Presti, that's the thing that breaks the game. So when I come back, I'm going to be talking about personally why it isn't compelling. And then we will continue the discussion. So why isn't DLC now feeling compelling? Definitely for me, I think, A, there's not enough worth purchasing. I don't feel like there's a reward for it. Like, there's no substance to it. Yes, there is for maps and, you know, changing the way your character looks, but it doesn't give you a lot to do compared to something like Mario Kart 8 or even Hyrule Warriors with the four packs. You know, they gave you so much content that already had enough content in it. So now that more is coming, and I kind of like how Nintendo did it with Mario Kart 8. If you want these two packs, they're $12, and this is what is going to be offered. We're going to do this part in November, and then we're going to bring the rest of it. It was going to be in May, but now it's actually this week in April 23rd, I believe, that, you know, you get the 200cc, you get, 8 more tracks, so it's like 16 tracks in total. You get more characters. There's just a lot to it, so you know, it brings people back to playing Mario Kart 8, and then more fun is going to be had. Capcom with Monster Hunter Ultimate, they've been releasing a lot of content for free for that game, which I think is cool. But, you know, games like Battlefield Hardlines or Call of Duty, you know, Evolve, Destiny, Assassin's Creed, Unity, definitely with Assassin's Creed Unity, that they had a lot of stuff just hid behind paywalls. You know, that kind of content is not much substance there. And definitely with, like, Destiny, you know, with them releasing new missions, but not raids, and releasing new patches, but this getting broken, and you know, it's just messing up with a lot of characters, a lot of consumers, and it's kind of weird that definitely for Bungie, for them to do that. You know, I respect Bungie. You know, they made some great Halo games, even though Halo is not for me. I respect it and all what it does. With Destiny kind of being like a good game, but you know, it needs a lot to improve it. I feel like that is just not enough there. That, you know, definitely with the DLC patch, DLC content they're about to release, or I believe they already released it. It doesn't have a raid mode to it, and people are wondering why. They decided not to do a raid mode, and I believe they said later on there's gonna be a raid mode coming later. This stuff is just, it's for next gen systems and even current gen systems. You know, DLC has to mean more. Now, I understand the prices that they're charging because a lot of work, programming, time, effort goes into this. And for us to just be like, well, no, I'm not going to pay that because It doesn't do nothing for me. And we know that the goal of DLC is to bring the characters, or not characters, to bring the players back to that game. So, you know, they could get into it and have, you know, the fun, or see if the game is better, depending on if you like it or not. Definitely with me, I've bought some DLC, and I can admit that I bought the season pass for Borderlands 2, because my friends were doing it, and we had planned that when they come out, we were going to do it together, and we did, and it was fun. But after we got our full feel of it, there was nothing else more to do with that. You know, they gave us extra missions, they gave us those storylines, they were fun, these extra worlds. They didn't reflect what we did with the main campaign, because we had already beat the main campaign. There was just nothing else to offer. When we did everything, when we got our characters up to level, it became a game that if we just feel like killing time or just wanted something to do, we'll pop it in and play it. Now, my other friends, they're playing it from time to time, but, you know, I've kind of moved on from Borderlands 2. Yes, the season pass was good. Yes, I got some enjoyment out of it. But I feel like now that if I do get a game for my systems and the DLC is just, you know, not really exciting to have. Now, you could say that same thing for Smash. You know, just having Mewtwo or, you know, Lucas when he comes in June, or the costumes and stuff, you know, it doesn't, you know, wow a lot of people, or it doesn't feel compelling, to some people. I definitely, you know, for me, if I want to support that, I'm going to support it, because maybe when I go out of town or I go to a convention center and I hook up my Wii U and I got Smash, maybe my friends who never played it might be interested into playing this game. So guess what? I'm going to be like, hey, I got these characters, you know, I want to offer this up to people. And like I said earlier, you know, people who are doing tournaments and stuff, they're forced to buy this stuff because they might have people who come in who are good with the character, and you know, you want to have that content available to them. So I mean, but that's by force. There's not much DLC that really stands out, like I said. And even if you read stories about DLC, how Nintendo is handling it, you would actually say that, you know, Nintendo is doing a kind of a really good job with this. And that's cool. And, you know, it's good that Nintendo now has recognized DLC, and they have at least, you know, did Nintendo Directs that show you what you're going to get. So they don't punk nobody. They give you the pricing. They give you the day that it's going to be released. So they at least give you heads up. They just don't announce what you're going to get in an article and be like, that's all. You know, you won't be able to see it until it comes out, you know. So first party versus third party DLC, you kind of, even with like The Last of Us, like I haven't even seen no video, anything about the DLC. I just heard the announcement, read it, and then it came out. You know, I didn't see no kind of video for Sony or for Naughty Dog releasing on what they're going to get. Yes, there's been articles and people talking about it on what you're going to get, but that's from video game outlets and other news outlets. You know, to see the DLC coming from the company itself, that's what I want to see. And at least, you know, be like, okay, this is what we're going to give you. This is the heads up, you know, and that's, you know, that's the way that I think DLC should be done, advertised wise. And if you find it compelling to buy, go and buy it. If you don't find it compelling, like I don't find the Evolve, I don't find the Assassin's Creed, and I just don't find a lot of third parties like DLC very compelling, because I just feel like it doesn't offer much. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's not for that, you know, just because it's not for me, it shouldn't be for you. It should be for everybody. I just feel like it needs to be promoted in a way that it excites your consumer, that's just like your, you know, your fan base to go out to be like, I really want this because this looks cool. So when we come back, I'm going to be talking about Amiibos, lot content, and, you know, season passes. So I will be right back. Now, with Amiibo for being a big hit with a lot of gamers, people still think today that they're useless, that they don't get nothing out of it. But, you know, if they were useless, now we know the shipping problems and the stock problems of the Amiibos and how Nintendo's handling it with pre-orders and everything. Yes, it needs to get better. We don't know why it's a big problem in America, but not everywhere else. Hopefully, you know, that gets solved and that they do bring Amiibos that, you know, that they had a problem making a shipping out. Hopefully that gets rectified. But, you know, with the Amiibo for your Wii U now and your new 3DS, and soon your 3DS, they showed the portal on the Nintendo Direct if you haven't seen it. It's more of a collector's item right now, but they do offer, of course, the use of it. Now, we know they're supposed to be used for special things in the game. Now, you could say that, well, $12, $13, whatever you pay, and you get for unlocks this or gives you these special abilities and stuff like that. At least that, you know, you would have a big range in different games to use them. You could say that's kind of DLC, because a lot of that stuff they could have just offered it within the game. But I think, you know, it's cool that it keeps your data and you could use it. Now, you might have to erase it and start over. But there's nothing cool like, you know, training against your Mii Fighter. Training against your Amiibo. Definitely in Smash. Or, you know, getting some extra energy or extra care, help and stuff in Kirby, or, you know, definitely with Splatoon, they're offering some things with that, and they're making these, definitely with Mario Party 10, you know, using your Amiibos to go around the game board, play, you know, and you know, using that for this function, you know, at least Nintendo will be like, okay, if you get this Amiibo, we're trying to do our best to make sure that you could use it in multiple games, so it's not just one thing. So if you see it as DLC just from one game to the other, it's not really that. I think, you know, it's very helpful. It's impressive to see how enthusiastic adult gamers and maybe people who are not even Nintendo fans go out and think that these are cool figures to have, whether you decide to use them or not. You know, it gets you to the habit of collecting. So even though the use of it might not be satisfactory to many, you know, at least it got you into collecting. You know, at least it got you into a hobby. You know, hunting them and paying different prices for them is ridiculous, but you know, that's the life of a collector. There's other collectors of other memorabilia and other items that go through the same thing. So so definitely with the Amiibo, it's nothing different. You've seen it being done before. Now, I can't talk about locked content and unfulfilled content. Definitely with Batman, not Arkham Asylum, the last Batman game, where, you know, they just didn't fulfill the content on for Wii U. They just decided not to deliver it, where Nintendo had to give the season pass back to people who paid for the season pass, you know, give them $20, and I think they gave them some extra stuff. You know, what Warner did with that game is that they released their DLC, and then, you know, they didn't feel, the game still feel broken because they just decided not to patch it, and they just feel like that they gave up to it. With Assassin's Creed Unity, like I spoke earlier, that, you know, there's some missions in the game and some things that, you know, you want to do or you can do that's that should be available to you for free. It's locked behind paid content. You have to pay for it to be unlocked, and that's kind of weird. And with season passes, you know, it's kind of getting out of hand. Then, you know, they're almost expensive at the game itself, or even, you know, just what, or like even half the price. You know, if you look at what they did with Mortal Kombat, if you look at what they did with Evolve, probably with, you know, what they did with Call of Duty and stuff, it's just like, yes, I can understand $20. You know, it's kind of reasonable that you're getting a lot of, hopefully you're getting a lot of content. The thing about it is that it's not promised. And if that, let's just say that, you know, definitely with Evolve, if they promise you this much content and hopefully it's going to release, if that developer goes out of business, you're not going to get that content. So you kind of have like product that's unfinished. And I kind of just talked about that, or and you probably heard it on different podcasts and stuff, that, you know, to have a game that's completely unfinished, with that's not right. Definitely if you pay for it, you know. It feels like now at a time that $60 is the base game. it's the pay to start. If you look at it that way, let's use free to play and free to start. Let's combine that and take off the free. It's a pay to start that you get a package. It's 80% complete. And then when the rest of the DLC comes out, it'll be 100% complete compared to, if you don't buy the season pass or if you don't buy the game, 6 months down the line or even 4 months down the line, they announce a Game of the Year edition or a definitive edition. Definitely, and I'm going to be talking about this in the last section, with PS4, Xbox One, there's more, like I talked about earlier, and I probably ran about this or talked to some people about it, there's more remasters than actual IPs of sequels and new franchises that's out. Now, sorry about that. Compared to indie games, you don't really see that much DLC for indie games. And once you buy an indie game, that's completely all that you're getting, because it is independent. And, you know, if they do make extra DLC for it, that's cool. That's wonderful. I think that's great. But definitely with some of with the games now, you know, it has to win you. Yes, Amiibo hasn't won a lot of people, but then if it didn't, there wouldn't be the lines that were at GameStop. Now, whatever GameStop business practices are, whatever Best Buy practices are, Toys R Us, whatever, you know, who deals with Amiibos, whatever their business practices is, it's don't want to say shady, but it's not fulfilling and compelling for people to get it, because they're getting frustrated that the supply is not there. They see the demand, but the supply is not there. So that alone turns some people off of Amiibo. The functionality and the use for it, you know, a lot of people don't care about that. They don't think it's beneficial, but it might help. It might help a younger gamer who might need some help, who might look at the Amiibos and be like, you know what? If this helps me in the game, Dad, Mom, can you buy it for me? And you just see the use of it being used because it's a helpful tool. Some people might need that. But that's the way that I see it. You know, I'm definitely a collector of Amiibo. I don't have all of them, but whenever they come in, if I don't have it and it's available, I buy it. If I miss all of it, I don't cry about it. I don't be like, oh man, I got to go to eBay or Amazon. I got to order, you know, I just don't worry about it. There are action figures, there's characters, there might be games that, you know, that I buy them for that I might not even use. You know, I have the Kirby Amiibo. I have an Ike Amiibo, but I don't have Codename Steam. And even if when I get Codename Steam, I probably won't even use the Ike. I might use Ike in Smash if I feel like it. I might use Kirby and Kirby in the Rainbow Curse just to try it out to see if it's good. But I'm not going out the way that some people are going. And I love the Amiibos. I think they're well designed. They're getting better. I got my Toad Amiibo from Mario Party 10 because I know that one was probably going to be hard to find. But surprisingly, we got it and people weren't just buying it. So I'm just like, let me snag this before it's gone. So I got one more section to do and then I will let you guys go. But I do have an announcement after that last segment. So I will be right back. So the last part I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to head on out because I have a lot of games to play. I got to get back to Super Mario Galaxy. Need to finish that. Trophies and achievements connected to the DLC. Now, there are some people who want the full, you know, they want the platinum or they want the full achievement for their game. And it's hidden by a lot of the DLC. And like I said earlier, if that DLC doesn't come out and there's an achievement or trophy that's connected to it, that's going to ruin people trying to get it. And now you kind of got to wonder, like, there haven't been many companies closing. Now, there have been a lot of developers closing, but nothing big like with THQ closing or, you know, Sega downsizing their company to only make a lot of mobile games. They said they still make some console games, but they won't be making a lot of them like they used to. Definitely, if a trophy and achievement is connected to it, you're kind of forced now to buy it if you want that trophy or achievement. You know, there's games that I finished that I have not got everything, and I'm completely fine with that. I don't mind getting, I don't worry about not getting a platinum or a gold on my PS3 for a game. Definitely, I'm fine with Nintendo not doing it. Just give me the full product so I can completely have fun. I think DLC will be getting better. It has gotten better over time. I will admit that. But, you know, it can't, definitely for fighting games, it can't do what Mortal Kombat X did. People might argue it can't do what Smash did. It definitely can't do what Street Fighter versus Tekken does. It can't do that, just lock the content on the disc and like kind of tease you, be like, hee 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 hee, hee, you want this, you gotta buy it. You know, definitely I don't want that. With Killer Instinct, I don't want it to be a free to start game. You know, charge me the $60 if I decide to get Killer Instinct. It just unlock everything. You can hire some characters that I have to secretly try to unlock. That's the challenge of the game and use my skills. I feel like that's more of a reward than just shelling out money for my credit card or my PSN or Wii U card. My PSN card, well, because if I do the Wii U cards, I end up buying the game with them. For recognitions, I won't use it for DLC. I just end up buying the whole game. You know, I won't use it from my PSN card to buy that DLC. Because, you know, I didn't get a full game. Definitely if a trophy and stuff happened. Now, I will say there are some DLC packs that do go on sale. Sony has done some flash sales where you get extra stuff that they would normally charge you $10-$20. They might be on sale for like $3-$4. You might be like, okay, that's the deal. Bam, and go get it. Some people have done that. So, you know, that's good. Microsoft, I believe Microsoft probably have done it too. I don't really know much about Steam. If they offer DLC stuff like that, they probably do. You probably could buy it the same way. I don't know how much they charge about that. But, you know, with DLC, it has to get better. Definitely, it has gotten better. But it has to continue to evolve. It has to get it to where it's very compelling that people will buy it when it comes out. I'm not talking about pre-sales or pre-orders and that kind of nature. I'm actually talking about advertising it good, showing you what you're going to get, making the prices more reasonable, having people who are willing to buy it kind of talk about it and discuss it, and hopefully it be worth the talk and discussion that they have. Now, the announcement that I have is that I got a big project coming in May. No, I'm not going to stop doing episodes. I'm still going to be talking and doing podcasts. Still going to try to get some more guests on it. I wasn't able to get with my other guests a couple of weeks ago, but hopefully I will be able to do it real soon and talk about MMOs and learn from that. But I have a big project and I kind of postponed it for April, and people, if you listen to the show, I kind of talked about it. I am doing a podcast and doing some blogs on about forgiveness in games, and I kind of talked about it with my friend. He kind of sees it as very interesting that I am doing something like that. But I'm going to be playing The Last of Us, Bioshock Infinite, and I'm probably going to be playing some other games that deal with forgiveness, and trying to make sure that, you know, I do the research that, you know, hopefully that stuff that, that things that I get to and talk about, you know, are reflected in the game. And I'm trying to go back. Sorry about that. When I was talking to my friend, trying to tell him, stuff that I'm going to be talking and writing about, I kind of wrote it out. But that's going to be in May. It's probably going to take me the whole month of May. Hopefully I want to kind of do it in 2 weeks, but I want to be able to fully play the games. Get the story is what matters to me, and some of the characters' reactions and how I personally feel about it. And then I want to write about it. And then I want to do a podcast discussion about it. Talking about the effectiveness of forgiveness, the connection to the players, when it doesn't do anything, why or if it is religious or moral, and why it is needed for the story and not the character. So, you know, like I said, it's going to be a big project because I'm playing two games, but there are probably other games that deal with forgiveness. And a video game. So that's going to be my big May project. Like I said, I'm still going to be doing episodes. while getting in that project. I really want to do it in May. I really want to be able to be like, okay, I got it all played. I got it written out. I'm ready to deliver the content and I'm ready to podcast about it. And hopefully I can get a guest and actually talk about just forgiveness in itself. And whether that person is a big video game player or not, just talking about forgiveness and how the human aspect of it, you know, may differ from the video game character aspect, something that's digital. It's probably going to be a good talk, and hopefully I could get that together. It should be very, very interesting. And like I said, I'll be talking to different people about it and getting their ideas of what they think about it. So thank you guys for tuning in. I have one more song for you guys, and then I am going to, like I said, get into Mario Galaxy because I need to finish. Once again, you guys, thank you for tuning in, checking me out. Thank you for the feedback. If you guys have any opinions or options on this show or this topic, you guys can email me at myop2comments@yahoo.com. You can friend me on Facebook under Edward Varnell. You can follow me at Twitter at ThatRetroCode. And you can follow us at the Anomalous Radio Network.net.podcast.com.podbean, or just look up on podbean.com for the Anomalous Radio Network or Optional Opinion and check us out there. Listen to our past episodes. Check out the Critical Hit Anomalous and check out this show and other shows on our Podbean account. Thank you guys once again for tuning in. Have a great week and have a great weekend, or have a great vacation, or whatever you're doing right at this moment. Have a great time. Enjoy playing video games. Enjoy life. Enjoy yourself in the company of friends. So I'm going to play this last cut. The music that I have actually been playing has been from the Dreamcast. Beside this last song, is from a star from the Sega Saturn. I feel like doing Sega music this week. So thank you guys, like I said, once again for tuning in, and I will check you out later. Peace.